episode of Talent Talks, the podcast for creatives who want to cut the fluff and focus on the pure art of creating something they're absolutely stoked about. Have you ever had a week where you felt like you were all gas, no breaks, and then when Friday rolls around, you think, what did I even get done this week? Or a day where you spent hours planning, but never actually started? What if I told you that those productive habits might actually be a form of self-sabotage in disguise? Today, we're talking about the silent loops that keep so many of us stuck, the sneaky bad habits that our brain has created to try and keep us safe from the risk of failure, rejection, or overwhelm. We'll be looking at four of the most common entrepreneurial self-sabotage loops, and most importantly, how to break them. In this episode, we'll cover the perfect launch trap, the busy work treadmill, the solopreneur bubble, and the research rabbit hole. Let's dive in. Have you ever gone on vacation with a friend who's a little too type A? The one who plans with such scrutiny that you start to wonder if they like planning the trip more than they actually like experiencing it? This first loop is inspired and dedicated to the chronic overplanner. And yes, as creatives, we love a good plan. A new project brings new possibilities, a new way to express ourselves, and we want everything to be just perfect. We spend hours perfecting the perfect website copy, curating the ideal color palette, and discovering and developing a flawless social media strategy. We tell ourselves we're just thinking things through. After all, why would we want to put the time, effort, and money into a half-baked idea that doesn't even make it past launch? But what we're actually doing is creating a complex system that's nearly impossible to start due to how many contingencies, plans, and details we've just created. Overplanning is often a form of procrastination, a way to avoid the fear of starting and failing. It's the ready, aim trap. And you never actually fire. Think about Mark Zuckerberg and the early days of Facebook. Their famous motto was move fast and break things, a direct rejection to the idea of overplanning. They prioritized launching an imperfect product and improving it with real-world feedback, a strategy that then allowed them to scale at an unprecedented rate. So, how do we avoid the plan procrastination trap? Well, get a pen and a piece of paper because you know what time it is. It's time for our first action item of this episode. Instead of planning the entire project, we're going to focus on planning just the first two steps. Remember, your goal isn't to get the whole thing done perfectly. It's just to start. When I first start a project, I think of what's the first, most doable, tiniest step that I can do. I do that. And then I give myself permission to adjust as I go. For example, I wanted to launch a new book series, and I want to think of the book cover, the age range I'd be writing for, the character development, what would happen over time, what the key takeaways of the story are, and how I would market it. The list goes on and never ends. But what did I really need to start? One, an idea for a book in about 1 to 2 sentences, and 2, a structure for the series with minimal detail. I'm talking maybe a page or less. And under an hour, I came up with this concept. 3 children go on a journey through time, solving problems at natural historical sites caused by a magical crystal explosion gone wrong. Pretty simple, right? As for the series structure, in each chapter or book, I broke it down into 3 parts. The children, 1, visit a magical historical site. 2, they solve the issue at hand with the help of a local animal, reptile, or totem. And 3, collect the crystal shard and then head home. After countless hours, sleepless nights, and a whole lot of restructuring and character ideation later, I realized that 2 simple steps forward is a whole lot better than banging my head against my laptop, feeling like I got nowhere fast. Plus, Completing a small task boosts dopamine in your brain, the happy chemical, which then helps create a positive feedback loop, tricking your brain into completing more small, doable tasks, which then helps you along your way in completing that dream project. This next loop is inspired by procrastinating stuff that matters, an entrepreneur's biggest self-deception. We get so good at being busy that we mistake it for being productive. For example, I could spend my entire day answering emails, organizing my desktop folders, or endlessly redesigning my logo. Then, in the blink of an eye, it's 9 p.m. and I feel mentally exhausted. So it must have been productive, right? Wrong. The business work treadmill keeps you safe from doing the hard, scary, high-impact work that actually grows your business. The client outreach, the content creation, the sales calls, all that good stuff outside our comfort zone that actually helps grow our business. The author Stephen King is a master at this principle. He famously writes every day, including holidays, with a daily word count. He doesn't spend his time organizing his bookshelf or reading reviews of his book. He focuses on the one thing that matters most, putting words on paper. For our next action item, it's called the 10-minute rule. So when you're faced with a big, intimidating task like writing a blog post or making a cold call, commit to doing it for just 10 minutes. This bypasses the overwhelm and builds momentum. And most of the time, you'll find that once you get started, you'll want to keep going. Another great way to level up this action item is the Pareto principle, or the 80-20 rule, meaning 80% of your vital work comes from 20% of what you do. So make the most of your deep work time by honing in on vital tasks for a set portion of time. For example, a typical workday is 8 hours. Applying the 80-20 rule, you can aim to spend about 96 minutes, 20% of 480 minutes, on your highest value tasks, potentially completing that 80% of what you set out to achieve that day. I really love this theory because not only does it mean I can accomplish more with less time, but it allows me to sustainably recharge by doing the things I love outside of work. We all need reminders of why we do what we do and why we love it. And I often come up with the best realizations when I'm finally able to close the laptop. This one is inspired by isolating when I felt overwhelmed. And being a solopreneur, it can kind of feel like I have this badge of honor. Like I love the independence, but then when a client project goes wrong or a marketing campaign flops, my first instinct is to pull away, self-isolate, and carry this burden alone. I ghost my friends, I stop posting on social media, and then I just get lost in this endless doom scroll. But the truth is, isolation is the opposite of what I need at that time and what a thriving business needs. When I'm overwhelmed, the best thing, and sometimes the hardest thing for me to do, is to reach out to friends and family, or other creatives. Sharing my struggles with a peer or mentor, it isn't a sign of weakness. It's a strategic move that can provide fresh perspective, emotional support, and even support new opportunities. Look at someone like Oprah Winfrey. Her empire was built on a foundation of connection. She didn't just build a talk show, she built an entire community. She understood that her greatest power was bringing people together and fostering genuine conversations, a lesson that's just as vital for a solopreneur as it is a media mogul. So the next time you feel overwhelmed, send a low-pressure text to a friend, or better yet, to a fellow creative. Just a quick, "Hey, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed today, but I wanted to check in and see how you're doing." This small, "Hi, how are you?" text can lead to a short call, which is then a powerful anecdote to the creative's solo soundboard. Our last final loop is the research rabbit hole, inspired by doom scrolling to quote unquote relax. You tell yourself you're doing business research, but find yourself hours later deeply invested in a YouTube channel about a colorful cartoon fruit dancing along to Justin Bieber and Ludacris' 2010 hit song, Baby, because the original content creator was showing how to create an entire app in 20 minutes on Figma, like 2 hours ago. This constant consumption of information, business related or not, without the action to back it up, is a low effort way to get a quick dopamine hit, and your brain knows it. It feels like you're learning because you send that to yourself to try later on Instagram, or add it to that learn folder that you never actually look at. It's your brain's way of avoiding the hard work of creating. The filmmaker and YouTuber Casey Neistat built his career on a simple philosophy: do more. His channel became famous not because he had the best gear or the most knowledge, but because he was always doing something. He prioritized execution over endless planning, and the result was a massive body of work and a very loyal following base. And for our last action item of this episode, woohoo! Grab your phone or an egg-shaped kitchen timer and set it for 15 minutes. During this time, you can do any kind of research or learning that your heart desires. When the timer goes off, stop what you're doing and shift to a task that requires you to create something, even if it's just for 5 minutes. This small swap will train your brain to move from consumption to creation. For me, when the timer stops, I like to draw something out. Even if it sucks, it doesn't matter. I stop, drop the phone, and draw. At the end of the day, these secret sabotage loops aren't a sign that you're a bad creative or a bad entrepreneur. They're just your brain's clumsy way of trying to protect you from quote-unquote bad experiences. But once you can name the loop you're in, you can start to work with yourself, not against that beautiful brain of yours. It all starts with one small swap, and that alone can change everything. As always, this episode was brought to you by KO Creative Agency, where we help creatives build messaging that feels like them, not a marketing bro in disguise. If you're ready to start working with your brain instead of against it, head to the show notes to explore our existing tools and resources. Our Core Voice Compass can help you find clarity. Our Marketing Brand Identity Guideline is designed to help you define your messaging, and our Content Creatives Toolkit to help you stop undercharging. You can find a free version of the Core Voice Compass and explore our full suite of free and paid tools at kocreativeagency.com. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time on Talent Talks.